Welcome to this edition of the Align IT Manager Tech Talk series. I'm Ruth Morton, and I'm here with my co-host, Jonathan Rosenblum.
Hello again, everyone.
And actually, the last couple of sessions, we have been with a live studio audience, and we had a different setup. But today,
I missed the people.
There are no people in front of us.
There's
just
people.
Just you guys
exactly.
online. But today, we're actually in at AVA. Oh, dear, I'm going to get their name
wrong. AVW Telab Studios.
AVW Telab Studios.
Our new home.
Our new home. So I think this is pretty cool. I like it.
I like the shiny.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Anyways, enough about that. We're here to talk about training and specifically about training your staff, your team, making sure they're up to date on the latest technologies as well as, you know, those soft skills, business skills, how to put together a training plan, all sorts of really cool stuff. And with us, we have a very special guest. And Jonathan, why don't you introduce our guest?
Sounds good. Actually, before I do that, we were talking about earlier when we were setting up for the show about the red sweater and, you know, the holiday season and stuff like that.
Yes, you're very festive.
Yeah, so I mean, I figure December is actually that time of the year when you're talking about training plans for the next year. And what better time of the year to actually have this conversation?
Yeah,
right?
No, it's good.
So to do that, we said, okay, well, the guest that we need to have this week has to be someone who is in it, doing every day, has a team with people on it that sort of training is a number one focus. So with that, we'll let him introduce himself. But we have Stuart here from Verax, who's also here in the city. Stuart, why don't you let everyone know what you do and really who you are and all that kind of fun stuff.
So Stuart and I'm a director of technology solution at Verax. It's a Toronto-based consulting firm, and we work with financial institutions. And training's been in my heart for a long time. I've been teaching on the side for
many years. Yeah, you used to teach at Seneca College, is that right?
Seneca College for 7 years and University of Toronto for 7 years.
Oh, wow.
So I really enjoy that part of helping others. And so I do that every day, and I help project teams to keep up with technology and train them. And also, I think it's great for everybody.
Technology. Wonderful. Yeah. So actually on that, and since you love training and stuff like that, why is it as important as it is? Why do we need to put such an effort into training to make sure that everyone is up to speed?
So I think most managers been in the industry for many, many years, seen many cycle of technology errors and changeover, and it's hard to keep up. You know, one thing is, you know, you have your web, your Ajax, and your cloud computing, your mobile. How do we keep up as a technology specialist? I think a lot of people now, they're looking for work-life balance. They want to be ready to work, but they also have a life they have to take care of. And so for us, is how do we manage and help them so they can have that balance? And they're looking for kind of mentorship, smart mentorship, and to spend the time wisely. That's really true,
because it's not just, I mean, the technology is changing so fast, so there's a couple of pieces to training. I think a lot of managers might think, oh, well, if I send my guys and gals out on a course a couple times a week, or a couple times a year, a couple times a week.
A couple times a week would be nice, actually.
Yeah.
Right. Every once in a while, you get some work done.
Yeah, but there's also learning on the job. There's also mentoring and stuff.
Sure.
Can you, what is the best, I guess, mix, or what have you find work? What have you found works the best when you're trying to keep up on such a changing landscape?
I think first thing, as manager, we need to be aware of the strategic direction for the company, where we're heading, and also technology. What are things that's important for us to focus on? Because everybody has very limited time. So I think it's a very important part for us to guide them on training. Certainly, we cannot just be training and don't do any work and deliverable.
Right.
So I do have a kind of 10% rule, that 10% of your time should be set aside to keep up with technology and training in various forms.
So then for that 10%, how do you as the manager and, yeah. or as the director of the group, how do you make sure that that actually fits into the schedule? So it's always easy to say 10%, sure. but then is it 10% on top of 100% workload, or how do you
sometimes honestly it might be.
Okay, fair enough.
And that's the truth. But often what we want to do is actually use our time wiser. So there are Lunch and Learn, there are great web broadcasts like this one, like what you guys are hosting, a lot of great resources.
That was not scripted,
by
the way.
Wow, that was good.
That was good, but that was not scripted, I assure you.
And we should leverage those facility and be able to learn efficiently. There are other ways that when you're on a project, often you go through development and you go through support time. And I assure you, there are times that we're very busy supporting. There are times we kind of, okay, what should I do next?
Right.
Make use of that time. So what we do is actually we provide e-club membership. So to various e-club, and obviously, a lot of great resources from Microsoft, we can make use of that time to learn. There are other ways besides Lunch and Learn that make use of the time, eat and have fun and learn. And we also recently started having tablets.
Oh.
And so people love tablets.
Yeah.
And what we do is we buy a bunch.
I don't know. Where's my tablet?
It's virtual. So yes, what we do is that we provide tablets. So some of them, they might not have tablet themselves. So we buy a bunch and we have a membership and they can just sign out and do reading. There are lots of great books out there. Maybe sometimes they just enjoy whatever they're of interest to them. They just go home and just read, while in the shop, in the car, waiting.
As long as they're not driving, of course.
Of course.
On the subway, in the commute,
On
the go train.
On the plane.
Yep. On the train, on
yeah,
the car.
Yeah, that's use of time, right?
Yeah. What about, sorry, I'm going to jump in there because I just had a question. Like, what about managers that think, and I'm sure there's some out there that think, oh, yeah, I'd like to train my guys, but I'm afraid that if I train them, they'll leave the company.
Ah, yes.
Can you talk about the correlation between training and employee retention?
Definitely. I've working in the industry for a long time, I work with outsourcing company. I also work with independent contractor. And I interview them, I see some of their challenges is actually upkeeping. As a contractor, you might go out there, earn great income, and they have to keep up. And a lot of them actually come back because they need nurturing. And such as IT, a lot of people get burned out easily. So what's important for, and that's what I'm talking about, the work-life balance, as IT professional, you need to keep your level to a certain degree in order to keep going. Right, and what we need to do is nurture them. As long as they know that we are nurturing them, working with them, listening to what their needs are, helping them to look at strategic direction, and together we have a program to help them to facilitate. And sometimes we look at it, people go on their own, they earn a little bit more money, but after taxes,
yeah. No. Well, that's the whole thing. If you can't raise the salaries of your staff, what better way to maintain their loyalty to your company and so you don't have to, go and hire someone else and retrain them and stuff, is to give them some training and give them some mentoring and kind of, I think that would increase an employee's loyalty
and,
to that company.
Yeah, satisfaction is more than just money.
It is.
At a certain point, it's your environment and how well you are nurturing them along the way.
So what's the approach to that? Is the first step really just coming up with that training plan to see what's going on, what they're going to do when, and or is there a better way to do it?
So we first thing, you have to listen. And you also have to, as a manager, you need to be aware of other things going on. Company direction, because we cannot just let them do all this fun stuff and no deliverables, right? So we need to look at strategically what makes sense for the company. And what are things that's important out there? Because sometimes you never know. Is there areas that's very dynamic, research type of thing? They will come back with value to help your company. And I've done some projects like that, and where we've done some research. And at the end, we wind up creating a platform and creating revenue stream. And so I think you need to balance what they want to do and also strategically what's important for to make it sustainable.
So then in that, so now we know what they want to do.
Yep.
You have them going in the right direction. How does that get merged into their day-to-day, right? Because usually there's that tendency to, get so caught up in the work that even though you do, like you said, you have the 10% and whatnot, work is still work. It doesn't go away. And I don't know about you guys, but I know at least for Ruth and myself, and definitely for you guys, there's always more work to do.
Yeah.
Right, very true.
So how do you, as their lead, sort of proactively kind of, I don't want to say enforce, because there's a negative connotation to that, but encourage that to happen?
Right. I think first thing managers need to realize that training is just not a fringe benefit that, you know, it's great for them to keep them. There's some value into that. Because if they don't keep up, then eventually you'll suffer. It's a vicious cycle. So important for manager is that you do try to enforce that allocated resource time for them to train. And that's the first thing. Then what we do is, it depends on project. Sometimes you're busy and honestly you really cannot just go on training all the time.
Right.
We have a planning cycle 3 times a year. And where we set the goal at the beginning, what they want, what strategic direction should be, and we measure it after after 4 months.
And how does that measuring look like?
So what we set is like, so say they want to do Microsoft certification. So they say, I'm going to get a book, I'm going to read it. So you know that there are 12 weeks, 12 chapters. You can monitor whether they are, perhaps you can find out during that review cycle that they are overloaded. They're not really keeping up, and eventually they'll be burnout and you'll hurt you, right? So what we do is using that measuring sticks to make sure that we low balance. And obviously setting aside time to read is important, but we really need to make use of downtime during the development cycle where you're doing support. That's the time you really should be reading and learning. And lunch and learn, I think it's a way to kind of get in, just do something different. So we have people very creative. They like to do research into areas like mobile, cloud computing, various things. Not everybody's like that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they want to learn. We want to keep up. So what we do is we have people going on and focusing on those areas. We give them a little bit more time. They come back and lunch and learn and other mechanism and share. So this way we optimize our time.
And in going through that, I heard you mention it before, but that certification is sort of something that you
very
encourage.
Very important. Now, we don't want to enforce.
Right.
Now, but to be fair, they're always a bottom feel that you kind of have to hurry them a little bit. But by and large, most developers I find are very self-motivated. Mm-hmm. And some of them actually want to take more than, you know, what you can set aside for 10%.
And actually also with the infrastructure folks, there's a lot of brand new certifications that are out.
There
right?
is. And I was actually just speaking with a group at the University of Waterloo this week, and we were talking about cloud computing. And one of the things that always comes up whenever I talk about cloud computing is there's a lot of IT professionals that are afraid of it. You know, it's... I do stress that it's changing the way IT does IT. It's changing the way businesses view IT. But it's not change happens all the time, you know, and so it's not something
to
be afraid
of. That's one of the beauties of being in this industry.
Well, that's what challenges. But, you know, and so we talked about how it's changing the IT professional's job. I just did a blog post, I think it went out this morning, actually, about we have some really great offers on virtualization certifications. Well, of course, virtualization is driving all this cloud stuff because... Chances are not everything's going to move up to the cloud. You're going to have stuff that's on-premise as well as cloud. But virtualization is one of those really hot skills, one of those really key skills. And it doesn't matter whether you're using VMware or Hyper-V or what you're using, being able to be trained on a breadth of virtualization technologies and being a virtualization specialist or have that knowledge is going to be key. So
for sure.
Since you mentioned cloud, I do also... You know, being the cloud guy myself.
Yes, you are the cloud guy, aren't you?
Jonathan, the cloud guy, Rosenblatt. No, but there's actually a brand new certification exam on the development side for Azure as well.
Okay.
You know, so, and that's the nice thing. If you go on to Microsoft.com/learning, all of that stuff is all on there.
Yeah, take a look at the virtualization.
Yeah, depending on the audience. And actually, there's also Virtual Academy, right?
Yes, the Microsoft Virtual Academy, which has private cloud, public cloud stuff, all sorts of different tracks that you can do. And this, what MVA, Microsoft Virtual Academy, and actually it's MicrosoftVirtualAcademy.com, it's great because you kind of learn it on your own pace. You can do yeah. at a lunchtime. You can do it kind of together or by yourself. And you go through these modules and you get these badges and you can get ranked according to your country or according to the world. It's kind of fun.
We're actually on it. Yeah. And we just enjoy it. I mean, we have people send on certification and things like that. We just enjoy great resources.
There's all sorts of free resources, which is great, and self-learning resources. Right. But then we also have really great learning partners, you know, that you can go and get specific training, because different people learn different ways. Mm-hmm. You must see that all the time.
For sure.
So having said that, actually, that's a great segue into the next question I was going to ask you, which was, as a manager, mm-hmm. right, what is your responsibility to each of your team members as they're sitting down to think about all these things, and, you know, the trying out the different approaches? What's your take on it? What do you feel, both yourself and those watching, is your responsibility to the employee?
Right. I think it's, to me, actually, training is very dear, because what I find is that if we don't change the our staff, our next generation, we're going to suffer. And so to me, actually, I think training on a consistent basis is part of your work, part of my responsibility that I'm in the position of influence, and I need to instill that aspect. And so I think we need to kind of keep motivating people for sure and keep them going on the right track. Yeah.
So this show is obviously done during the day, noon Eastern and in the morning on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of stuff during the day. I know I've had several developers and stuff come up to me and say, I'm a little bit worried asking my manager if I can, you know, tune into webcasts during the day, or if I could take training that's during the day. What would be your response to that?
I think if we don't train them, it's a vicious cycle, as I say. If they don't do well, the customer, the project's going to suffer. They're going to not be happy. You're going to be suffering as a manager.
Right.
It's part of the investment you have to do, to me.
So from your end, then, you would encourage
that, say, for sure.
Even though it's in the middle of the day?
For sure, yes. Obviously, projects, we know the schedule.
Right.
And we know that we do set aside that time, and we have to honor that.
Yeah. So it's a matter of understanding, I think, from the manager's standpoint and making a business case. So, so understanding that the manager wants you to be able to think before thinking, wants you to be able to be satisfied in your job so you'll stay, unless you're a really bad employee. I don't know. You know. So if you can.
Not that ever happens.
But so if you can
not
make
for
a good.
Folks watching.
No, not any of you guys. You guys are all great.
And have great teams.
But if you can make that business case and couch it in terms that the manager understands, then hopefully, you know, they'll respond in kind and say, okay, well, yeah, set aside, you know, I like your 10% rule. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a, you know, set aside 10%, and especially if it's free, you know, online stuff.
And I think that one of the important things is that there are forums like this, the IT Managers Forum, where you really can learn, because sometimes people just try it and might not be most efficient, most effective way. Mm. You should think about strategic, what makes sense. Everybody has limited time, and believe it or not, managers are very busy too, right? And they say, I don't have time. I don't have time to train and things like that.
Right.
But why not just go on resources like, you know, IT managers and just learn from a forum what people do, and you can benefit on, you know.
So, of course, that was a perfect setup. I have to do a little plug.
You always do plugs.
You know where I'm going to go with this. And you hear me mention it every month when we do this show. The Align IT LinkedIn group is actually the perfect place for what Stuart was saying, to interact with others that are in very similar situations like you, have teams, or doing all this kind of stuff. Monitor what's going on, or better yet, just post whatever's on your mind and see what people think.
Yeah, it's nice to find out what other people are doing, what their thoughts are. We have all sorts of really good discussions up there. Jonathan and I monitor that all the time as well. And we have some really great discussions. I think some of the I'm trying to think what some of the later ones have been on. There was one about how to measure performance of your team, you know, about metrics and that type of thing. We've had some about virtualization and
cloud computing. There was actually one great one. Before I do that, in case you don't know what the URL is, it's microsoft.ca/AlignIT group, I believe it is.
Yeah.
But there was one conversation on there that actually led to a blog post that led up to this show that now I'm going to ask you about,
okay.
which was we got into a discussion about on-the-job training versus formal classroom or webinar or whatever training from an actual curriculum.
Right.
And various people were sharing, you know, one was very pro, you know, go formally learn so that you can see things all the way. Someone else was very much so on the other end saying, no, only on the job because, you know, you learn it the
better,
right way. What do you think?
I think at the end, you really need both, a balance.
Okay.
But if you would just go on a job, you're not as efficient. And you could be making simple mistakes that could be costly. And what we believe is you find an efficient way of learning. Sometimes going on a full week on courses, you might not get the best out of it. And actually, I talk to developers, sometimes they prefer virtual. Give them a membership, give them an e-book, various way. The key thing is like they can learn the quickest they can. Everybody is different. Find the quickest way to learn first, because you got to be educated. Obviously, there's no substitute for get your hands dirty and try out. But important is it's you have someone coaching and helping along the way. And I think that would facilitate the learning and benefit to the project.
And actually, talking about putting your hands in, there's all sorts of virtual labs, and you can download all sorts of products. We have the eval cert, and actually, you know, I looked up the URL just before we came, Microsoft.com/ eval center. That's right.
That's
you have to spell center the American way. So it's
well, what can you do? What can you do?
Yeah, but the eval center, and there's all sorts of stuff that you can download and check it out. It's all beta or trial products, because some people learn best by rolling up your sleeves, getting your hands right in there.
And I'm assuming that's probably something that you tell them right away.
We do
go
that.
Go download.
We use a lot of eval and virtual image. And they can just learn without messing up their own environment, right?
Yeah.
So we definitely use that.
And actually, speaking of hands-on as well, at the end of this month, Tech Days Online comes
up. We've got so many things going on right now around this topic of getting information and getting people knowledgeable about all the cool stuff that's happening in the technology right now.
And more importantly, like you said, virtually, right?
Yep.
Catering to the fact that at the end of the day, everybody's busy.
Well, the other thing is, too, is that we're such a big country, and so, you know, there are training centers in some places, but we can't cover all of Canada. So a lot of places it makes sense to just be able to go online and do things.
For sure. So just one more quick note on Tech Days, because it is coming up online at the end of the month. That actually has about 50 or so different hands-on labs where you can actually go in, write some code. It's actually perfect for teams like yours and for you guys as well, both development and infrastructure, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I think the recent one that was added on there was something about System Center 2012.
Oh, yeah, because it's coming out. It's in beta right now. It's coming out. Coming up. I don't know if that's been announced, so I have to not say anything.
You did not hear it from either one of us on this show.
But you can download the betas. You can get some hands-on. One of the hands-on labs is on Orchestrator, which used to be Apollos. So it's now Orchestrator, and it kind of ties all the System Center products together, and it's kind of it's really cool. I think a lot of IT professionals sit down at it and go, oh, another System Center product. You know, it's such a big thing, but
can you tell she's from the infrastructure?
But you go on and you can basically create these run books and have, you know, and you can link in with different systems, not just our System Center stuff, with HP systems, with EMC, with and say, well, if this happens, then make, you know, this happen, and you don't have to know any programming.
Infrastructure. Here I am thinking, oh, you know, like MVC and light switch and
actually light switch is pretty cool too. I must say, even for an IT pro, at Waterloo, I sat in on one of their sessions on Access, and I like what they're doing there. I'm just so thrilled. Here we have a campus. There's about 300 IT professionals or IT folk or people that support the technology on the campus of Waterloo, and once a year they have this conference just for their own folk. And because they're so distributed and because they all kind of work in their own little silos, this is their time to kind of get together and share. And this is actually the first time they've had vendors like Microsoft come and speak. Usually it's just peer sharing, and there's still a lot of peer sharing going on. So that was fun. So I sat in on one that was all about Access and the Access databases. And like a lot of companies out there. Waterloo is no different. They have all these little access databases that have popped up all over the place as people try
to... They were supposed to be retired at one point.
Well, yeah, I mean, some of them have been going for 10 years, you know, and so how do you maintain these systems? How do you upgrade them? And then I brought up the idea of light switch or the knowledge of light switch and how you can maybe do a little more of a business application development without having to do a lot of the development with light switch. And then I don't know, we talked about the SQL backend and then and then porting stuff up to SQL Azure to get to the redundancy even though you're using the Access front end.
Yeah. So here's what I hear though when it comes to this stuff, and, and you probably hear it as well. You have all these things and you guys work with clients all the time.
Right.
One of the first things that always comes to mind when stuff like that is, oh, it's a new technology. We don't have the staff who knows how to use it.
Yeah.
Now what?
Yeah. So.
Now what?
Yeah.
So obviously, there are lots of things, and we cannot practically put everybody on trying new stuff. You have to sometimes rotate. There are certain people very keen and very quick in picking up new technology.
Uh-huh.
Rotate. And get them on, and they will be very interested. They will be motivated.
Find someone that's passionate about whatever it is, and have them then share it with their
peers. That's exactly what we're doing.
That's what made me so excited about this type of conference, because it's people that are passionate about this certain area sharing their knowledge, and hopefully then people can work better together. They can learn more after the discussion. You got these little groups of people having specific discussions about.
And you mentioned lunch and learns.
Yes.
So I'm assuming you kind of do train the trainer type things where people go on training, come back.
We definitely do. Some of the people want to have like a variation, diversity in what they can do, and I think some of them are very capable. And we need to build up the next generation to keep up. And because I'm too busy, I got to start load balance, right? And for sure, we do that.
I love the use of load balance from a non-technical perspective. I love it. Every time he says load balance, I'm like, ooh, cloud. No. I had to. You know that. So then, last but not least, I'm going to flip it around.
Mm-hmm.
The entire time we've been talking about the benefits from the employee perspective. And you talked briefly about it from an employer perspective.
Sure.
But let's touch on that just a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
From an employer perspective, why is it in your best interest to make sure that your guys or gals are up to speed on the latest and greatest? What does it mean for you as an organization?
I think at the end of the day, it's basically we're trying to build a win-win situation. If the employers are not motivated, they are falling behind, it's going to cost you a problem. And sooner or later, if you don't invest, it's going to cost you a problem. It's important to keep investing. So if they are winning, they're happy. You have high retention. And you create an environment that's happy to work in. And who doesn't want that?
Of course.
Right?
I've also heard people, and tell me if I'm wrong, but innovation.
Yes.
Right? Brings innovation back into the company. It brings creativity.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what we do is that we create a special group, a special interest group. Technology stacks, and they do research in certain areas to sort out and look at various options and look at best practices and bring together things that's most important, distill the information first, and then we share that information. Because back to the time issue, right? Everybody's got limited time. Managers, developers all have time issues. And we need to leverage that different ways of groups doing research, bringing the information in the most efficient way. And that's how we keep things up.
Cool. And that actually goes back to what we were saying or in the blog post that led up to the show was that I had it basically saying, you as a manager, you guys as managers, help your people to ultimately help you in the end.
Yeah. Exactly.
And like you said, create that win-win situation.
Right.
We had a question from online from JP Beat. Says, I was impressed by the first time I saw Light Switch this spring. And by the way, it's not we're having... Yeah, so I see the question here. It slowly shows up. So let's see. So the tool will replace lots of rad tools. Yeah, that's probably true.
What are
rad application
tools.
Deployment.
Okay.
Yeah, that's actually very true. And that's sort of the premise of Light Switch as a tool. Visual Studio is more of your, you know, create these larger solutions and everything like that. Light Switch side keeps things lightweight, keeps... you know, it's more for those line of business applications, for internal use applications. That really, you know, you need something fast, you get it up there. Actually, you used it for your group, right?
I'm still working through. I mean, yeah, you talk about the 10%. This is the stuff outside of my usual job. Of course, we're
that's
using
it. That's why it scares me, by the way, that she's now in development. But I know that LightSwitch can help her.
Well, yeah. So I work for this not-for-profit organization. For multiple bursts of Canada.
In case and you guys.
I have twins. Yes, twins. Little three-year-old boys, and so
which somehow make it into blog posts and stuff.
Everywhere.
I love it.
So twice a year, this organization, like a lot of nonprofits, they have something they do that they have to use a process for, and it's all paper. So twice a year they have this big sale where all the moms and dads and families sell stuff, and all the community members come and buy stuff, you know, because, you know, kids go through stuff so quickly. But it's all on paper right now. It takes so long for everyone to get through the cash out process. And John and I, my husband, who's also technical, are like, wait, we've got to be able to do this better. And so we're in the process of using LightSwitch to build out a point of sale system. But just something very simple, very specific. It's like a big garage sale, really, but we have to get through lots of people.
And
you know?
Again, there you go. You didn't have the tools. You went, you downloaded a trial.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah, Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
Well, he's my uncle, but anyways.
There you go. Oh, we do have another one coming in. This is great. By the way, thank you so much for actually, using the chat features. But no, this interactivity is exactly why we do this live, why we do it interactively. You know, so it's great.
And this is probably the last question we're going to be able to take because then we're going to have to wrap it up.
Yeah,
but
you know,
we'll.
Time flies so
it does.
Quickly when we do this.
I'm always the timekeeper, too.
I know, I could talk for hours. Anyway, so the comment was, again, we have users that want small access apps ported to SharePoint. LightSwitch will do them wonders. You're absolutely right. And especially, again, if you want to make it scalable and stuff like that with the abilities to move it to the cloud, I had to do that again. You know, the point is, simple tool makes things like that easy. You're absolutely right. Thanks again, JP Beat, for chiming in. And I think with that, Ruth, we go to call it a month.
Yeah, we're going to call it a month. So in January, our next one is the second Thursday of January, which is, I forget the date, but anyway, second Thursday of January at noon Eastern. We're going to be talking about de-risking your deployments, your client deployments. So,
which, of course, is going to be a very interesting discussion, both from an infrastructure side, but also from a development side.
Yeah. So I hope you tune in next month. Thank you very much.
You've
been
an
awesome
much.
Guest, Stuart. And we will see you guys in January. Have a great Christmas.
And have a good holiday season. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Bye, everyone.